Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. I told you last week that I'd be addressing the concerns of a Canadian listener about some of Kevin Barrett's comments on 9/11 a few weeks ago. But I'm going to postpone that until next week because the information that I want to share with you today is time sensitive. So stay tuned for that next week. I'm joined on the show today by Ted Walter, the director of the New York City High-Rise Safety Ballot Initiative. Ted is working with victims' family members and other concerned citizens to get a new investigation into the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7 on 9/11. It was the third skyscraper to collapse that day, and it wasn't hit by a plane. The 9/11 Commission didn't know how to explain its collapse in 6.5 seconds at roughly 5:20 in the afternoon on 9/11, so it just didn't include it in the report, with the exception of one footnote. BBC reporter Jane Stanley also reported the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7 20 minutes before it actually collapsed. Like many other aspects of 9/11, there are many anomalies surrounding World Trade Center Building 7. And here's a guy who would like some answers. Ted Walter, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Cheryl.
Yeah, I know you've been on the show several times before talking about the ballot initiative in 2009 and then the current one, but maybe for listeners who don't know about those, if you could give us a little history on the first ballot initiative back in 2009?
Sure. So the first ballot initiative that NYC CAN did happened in 2008 and in 2009. A group of activists in New York City drafted a petition and began circulating, collecting signatures in the summer of 2008. So I joined that campaign and helping to gather signatures and managing canvassers. And the campaign went into 2009 when we finally gathered enough signatures and submitted the petition. The goal of that ballot initiative was to establish a local commission to reinvestigate the events of 9/11. And so we gathered 80,000 signatures and submitted them. We basically met the threshold that was needed to put the initiative on the ballot, but the city was able to stop us from getting on the ballot. The election law in New York State is actually quite complicated and makes it very difficult for voters to get measures on the ballot. The only type of ballot initiative that is allowed is one which would amend your city's charter. And so the case law over the years has really narrowed the ways in which you're authorized to do that. And so we, once the city challenged the petition in 2009, we ended up going to court and eventually losing. The city did prevail in that legal battle. So NYC CAN, which is an organization that, you know, comprises 9/11 family members as well as first responders and other New Yorkers like myself who have been committed to getting a new investigation into the events of 9/11. After a few years, we started considering the idea of a new ballot initiative, taking the lessons that we learned from 2009 and hopefully applying them and getting on the ballot the second time around. And so we essentially made a determination that if we narrowed the scope somewhat to a matter that was absolutely a municipal matter, that something that fell under the city's jurisdiction that the city should care about, we could succeed in getting on the ballot. And so this current ballot initiative that I've been working on is called the High-Rise Safety Initiative. And what it would do is require the city of New York to investigate the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7, which is the third building that collapsed on 9/11. As well as any future high-rise collapse that might occur. The idea is just to amend the city charter and give the Department of Buildings a broad mandate to investigate high-rise building collapses, starting with the collapse of Building 7 on September 11, 2001. So that campaign has been happening since February 1st of this year, and we are in the process. Essentially, we have finished gathering all the signatures we need. We've gathered over 100,000. And now we're encountering that same hurdle that we encountered in 2009, where the city challenged our petition. But we believe this time around we have a much, much better chance of getting on the ballot.
Yeah. My understanding was that if you had the 100,000 signatures, that automatically overruled what the city council would say, and then you could get directly on the ballots. But they're challenging that now?
Well, there are two separate hurdles that are essentially parallel. One was sort of the political process. We submitted the first petition on July 3rd that had 67,000 signatures. And the next step in that process is that the city council either votes whether or not to put it on the ballot, or they can actually take no action, which is essentially voting no. And then we submit a second petition on September 4th, which we still plan to do, that would override the city council voting not to put it on the ballot or not taking action. At the same time, the city clerk and the city's law department and the Board of Elections were also reviewing the petition to see that it complied with law and had a sufficient number of signatures. And so the city clerk has come back and said that this petition is just short of the number of signatures that we need, and that these certain provisions of the petition are legally invalid. So this is the same hurdle that we encountered in 2009, and we were essentially expecting this. We thought this was very likely. It was very unlikely that the city would not challenge the petition. So essentially everything is going according to plan so far. And so now we have our first hearing in court with the city on Thursday. And from there, we will go through a process where we have to review the signatures that the city has challenged and show that actually a large number of them are valid signatures. They are registered voters in New York City who signed the petition. And we're very confident that we will get over the requisite number of signatures. And then we will probably debate the certain legal arguments that the city is making against the petition. And that will probably last until mid to late September.
Now, I understand the city clerk is saying you only have something like 27 or 8,000 valid signatures and you needed 30, correct?
Yeah, the city clerk says that we have, I believe it's 27,892 signatures. So we're about 2,000 short, 2,100, 2,200 short. We, in 2009, the city challenged our petition saying that only 26,000 signatures were valid and the other 26,000 that we submitted were invalid. And we went through a process of reviewing all of those signatures, and we found 7,000 out of the 26,000 signatures that the city challenged should have been deemed valid by the city. And so we expect a similar number this time around, and that we're very confident that we will easily get over the 30,000 requisite.
Plus you have that additional ones to hand in on September 4th, correct?
So the additional ones to hand in on September 4th will satisfy a second threshold, which is the 15,000 signatures that are needed to override the city council's veto. So in fact, that second batch of signatures wouldn't apply to this first batch if it turns out that we don't have enough.
I see. So does it make sense to, you've submitted 67,000 and they're saying only 27,892 are actually valid. Does that, it's like 40, almost 40,000 signatures that they're throwing out. Does that sound right?
It doesn't sound right at all. We think, we actually know based on the city clerk's certificate, and we know based on experience, that they're using essentially unlawful criteria to challenge signatures. The true test of a valid signature, at least in New York State, is whether the voter's actual signature matches up with the signature that is in the voter database. It's essentially a scan of the original voter registration card that the person signed. And that is how you establish that the person is registered to vote. And what the city has done is gone and probably challenged every signature that they could find where the address given by the petition signer didn't match the address in the voter database. And that's actually not the true test for whether they're registered. The city's responsibility is to go in and actually look at each person that has that name. If you don't find a matching address, you actually go in and look at each person who has that name, you look at their signature, mm-hmm. and you see if the signatures match. And so we expect anywhere from 5 to 10,000 signatures of the 30 or 40,000 that they challenged to actually fall into that category.
The last time you did this back in 2009, I came down to New York and helped look for some of those signatures and validate some of the petition signatures.
Yep.
And will you be doing that same process and looking for people to help you with that?
Yes, we will be doing that same process. And thank you very much for coming down to help us. We had maybe 20 to 30 volunteers each day come into the Board of Elections and sit down and go through all the signatures and check them against the voter database. And rather unfortunately, because it's such a huge amount of work, we're going to have to do that again. And so we We absolutely are looking for volunteers. I know your audience is largely in Connecticut. If anybody can make it down for a day or a couple days or even the week, if you have a place to stay, we can use all the help that we can get.
Would they contact you through the website, the High Rise Safety Initiative website?
Yeah, you can contact us through the website. There's a contact form. Yeah, that's the easy way to do it. You can even take down my email address. I'm happy to give. It's tedwalter@nyccan.org, and you can reach me directly that way. I will be managing all of the volunteers to go through the signatures, so feel free to contact me.
And that'll start after you go to court this Thursday? It'll be starting after that?
Yeah, we expect to start next Monday.
Okay, great. And again, that's tedwalter@nyccan.org. Now, what do you think is going to happen in court? What are some of the hurdles that you think you'll be facing there?
So probably the way it's going to play out is first we're going to look at the signatures, and we're actually going to ask the judge to order the city to go back and review the signatures because they didn't use the correct criteria. We don't know if the judge will do that. We're kind of preparing for the worst case scenario where we just have to go through them first. And so that'll probably take a couple weeks. And then we will submit our findings and probably be showing that several thousand signatures were wrongly challenged. From there, we may have to do a line-by-line review with a judge or with the referee of each signature, or the city may just concede that we have enough valid signatures once we go through the work of finding all these signatures that shouldn't have been challenged. The second step will be sort of a briefing process where we go through, the city essentially made three legal arguments against the petition. And so it'll be a matter of arguing the law and the language of the petition and whether or not the petition is in fact legally valid, which means that it complies with all the laws of New York City, New York State, and any federal laws. And so I can go into detail on the ways in which they've challenged it.
Yeah, sure. Why don't you share that with us? Yeah.
Okay. So firstly, the city has said that, well, essentially the investigations that would be conducted under this charter provision, whether it's Building 7 or any future collapse, have to be funded by a tax or a charge or whatnot that doesn't already exist and use its own revenue source. You can't draw on existing revenues through the normal budgetary process. So the petition includes a surcharge on construction permits of 0.9% on the value of any construction permit fee. And the city has said that that surcharge is actually a tax and not a fee. And if it's a tax, it means that the city would actually have to get approval from the state in order to enact that tax, which essentially under this process makes it invalid. And so we are arguing that this is a fee, and that's the way that we conceived it, and we see it as a fee. And the general test for whether something is a tax or a fee is if sort of how closely the charge is related to the benefit or the privilege that's conferred for paying that charge. And so we feel very strongly that this is a fee. And in fact, by challenging this and saying that this is a tax and not a fee, that the city is calling into question hundreds of fees that it charges already. And it could make it much more difficult for the city to enact fees in the future if it wants to construe this as a tax. So that's one thing. The other thing that the city has said that the petition doesn't give adequate notice as to the immediate effect of the petition. So that essentially means that they're saying that, well, the first thing that's going to happen as a result of this charter amendment is the city's going to have to investigate the collapse of World Trade Center 7. And the petition actually doesn't state that in clear, bold letters. And, you know, our response, we have multiple responses to that, but it's essentially laid out clearly, investigate all collapses starting from September 11, 2001 onwards. And so that necessarily implies Building 7, and lots of people would be aware. Especially in New York, the percentage of people aware of Building 7's collapse is actually much higher. And furthermore, the goal of the charter amendment is actually much broader than just Building 7. So that was essentially the way that we chose to word it, is because our goals are broader than just Building 7. What also comes into play is the canvassers and the website and all of our campaign materials, which very clearly state that one of the major goals of this campaign is to investigate the collapse of Building 7. So for all those reasons, that argument, we think, falls apart.
Didn't you, my understanding is that you planned this new ballot initiative with lawyers on staff and worked it out legally, right? So you knew that it would meet the legal requirements of the city.
Yes, we worked with lawyers, with election lawyers in particular, who understand this section of the law very well. And so the petition is very strong. And we knew that despite our best attempts to make this petition legally valid, that the city would try to challenge it in some way. In part, it's largely political, given the subject matter. And historically, the city, every time a ballot initiative has been attempted in New York City in the last 50 years, the city has challenged the petition. And unfortunately, only one time has something actually gotten on the ballot, and that was in 1993. There was a ballot initiative to establish term limits for the mayor and members of the city council. So it's kind of like the city's natural reflex when anybody submits a ballot initiative is to just try to keep it off the ballot. And that's really unfortunate for voters. And the ballot initiative process in New York State is really, as I said, it's very unfair to voters. Really, what should happen is you should be able to submit your petition before you begin circulating it to ensure that it's legally valid. The idea that you do all this work and build this big campaign and then the city can just challenge it is really quite unfair, but it's unfortunately what we have to work with right now.
And then there was a third thing you said that was a hurdle?
Yeah, so this is, it's not intuitive at all, but the city is essentially saying that because the major purpose of this is to investigate the collapse of Building 7, what's going on is that we want to reinvestigate the events of 9/11, and as such, the ballot initiative is actually advisory, which means it's expressing an opinion. Our goal is really to pass judgment on a previous investigation that was conducted by the federal government, and the nature of the ballot initiative is not actually to mandate a sort of critical, fundamental government function. It's really just an expression of opinion, perhaps through the ballot initiative itself, as well as by way of the investigation that is eventually mandated. And so it's really first of all, you have to understand that advisory ballot initiatives are not permitted in New York State under this ballot initiative process. A simple example of an advisory ballot initiative would be one where, like, the city voters are voting on something that's actually just, like, symbolic. That's, like, something about the war in Iraq, for example. That would be, like, the purest form of an advisory initiative. So the city is also trying to construe this as being advisory. And our answer to that is very, very simple. It's mandating a fundamental government function, which is for the Department of Buildings to investigate building collapses when they occur. And the fact that one of the building collapses that this applies to occurred on September 11, 2001, is irrelevant.
Mayor de Blasio, how is he reacting to this ballot initiative? I know you've been getting some press around that lately.
Yeah, we have. Mayor de Blasio, about a month ago, was asked by a reporter at a press conference what he thought of the ballot initiative, and he immediately lambasted it, saying that it was insensitive to 9/11 family members and inappropriate, which is just absurd because there are 9/11 family members that are on our board of directors and are part of this campaign supporting it. So I think it showed that he really doesn't know what this is about and who we are, and that he's kind of just read the headlines about quote-unquote conspiracy theorists supporting this ballot initiative. So that was unfortunate, but on the flip side of that, fortunately, we have been forcing public dialogue to happen about this issue and about the campaign, and the campaign has been getting lots of attention. And we anticipate over the coming weeks as we go into court against the city that it will continue to get a fair amount of media coverage. Obviously, once we get on the ballot, it will be a huge amount of media coverage, and we hope that it will be a major educational moment for people in New York City and around the country to learn about the collapse of Building 7.
Now, are you optimistic that you'll get on the ballot?
Yeah, we are optimistic. I mean, we know that there's a significant chance that we won't, but there's also a significant chance that we will. I mean, I would put the number at, it's hard to put a number on it, but I would say it's at least 50% chance that we will get on the ballot. We really think that the city's arguments are totally specious and unfounded, and that we have very strong legal arguments in our favor. If we don't get on the ballot, I will say essentially it comes down to political motivation and simply the bias that the courts have had in favor of the city when these types of ballot initiatives have happened in the past. But we feel like with this petition, we've drafted something strong enough that we can overcome that.
Now, one of the city council members was quoted as calling the 9/11 truth movement and this effort as a wild fantasy. Do you care to respond to that?
It's really disappointing. There's not a lot to say about it other than she doesn't she doesn't know what she's talking about. This is the Speaker of the City Council, so it's like the equivalent of like John Boehner, but for the New York City Council. And she is apparently relieved that the City Council doesn't have to vote on this because the city clerk is saying that it's not legally valid and we don't have enough signatures. And so our response to her is the only wild fantasy that we're aware of is the idea that a 47-story skyscraper can collapse from fires. And we would really ask her to reevaluate that idea.
So you'll be going to court this Thursday. And will you have results that day or will it take longer than that?
It'll take longer than that. The purpose of this first hearing is really to kind of like for the judge to see what's going on and then lay out a schedule for going through all the matters. So after that first hearing on Thursday, we will probably start reviewing the signatures next Monday, and that could last 1 to 2 weeks. And then, you know, by the end of August, early September, we'll start going through the briefing part of the process where we look at the actual legality of the petition. And then we think that there will be a determination by mid-September.
Now, could they prolong that so that the election came and went, or do they have to respond in a certain timeline?
They have to respond in a certain timeline. Election law matters are expedited, essentially. So I think, like, the latest that it has to be decided upon is, like, the end of September, like, up until, like, the first, end of September, first week of October. That's essentially the cutoff. And the city and the court essentially have to make sure that the process is done by then. So I don't think there's any risk of anybody drawing out the process and that, the timing preventing us from getting on the ballot.
Yeah, well, Ted, I really want to thank you and all the people that are working with you to do this, to make this happen. This is a great effort. And I really felt the difference this time from the last time that this was attempted in the organization and the planning. You really all seem to have it down this time and be really ready to go. And you kind of know what to encounter now with the city and the city council. So it seems much stronger, your efforts this time.
Thank you, Cheryl. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. And maybe you could give the website again. And so people, if they want to follow what's happening, they can go there and read the updates.
Yeah. So the website is highrisesafetynyc.org. Again, that's highrisesafetynyc, all one word, no dashes, .org.
Okay, great. And they can, again, as you said, if anyone wants to come into New York and help you validate signatures, they can do that starting next week by contacting you through the website or at your email, tedwalter@nyccan.org. And Ted, is there anything that we haven't mentioned that you'd like to say before we pause today?
That's pretty much it. I think we've covered all our bases.
Okay, great. Well, good luck with that. I'll be down to help you with the signatures sometime next week. So,
thank you, Cheryl.
Ted Walter, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You've just been listening to an interview with Ted Walter, director of the High-Rise Safety Ballot Initiative in New York City. If the ballot initiative is successful, the voters of New York City will get to vote on it in the November elections, and if approved by the voters, would charge the city with investigating the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7. And that's the third building that collapsed on 9/11 and wasn't hit by a plane. For more information about the High-Rise Safety Initiative and how you can help, one of the websites is www.nyccan.org. And again, that's nyccan.org. And for more information on World Trade Center Building 7, you can go to the website ae911truth.org and view the research done by over 2,200 architects and engineers. And another good source is David Ray Griffin's book called The Mysterious Collapse of World Trade Center 7, Why the Final Official Report About 9/11 is Unscientific and False. As a brief update on the number of views that Richard Gage's August 1st interview on C-SPAN has received, it's now up to 75,226. That's like 74,000 more than most of the shows there get. So it's really quite impressive. If you haven't seen it yet, I encourage you to check it out. And I want to remind the listeners that 9/11 Wake Up Call shows are archived at the website radioforall.net. And that's the digit 4, so radioforall.net. And now, in keeping with the spirit of the High-Rise Ballot Initiative, I'm going to end the show today with a song written by local musicians. And it's called Building 7, The Smoking Gun. It was written by Carl Seeger Henry on vocals and includes the musicians Gary Fox and Mark Saunders. So here goes.
Building 7, the smoking gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells it true. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. At the World Trade Center, 3 buildings came down, hit by 2 planes, panic all around. But Building 7 had barely a scratch, not hit by plane, yet it still collapsed, and office fires were blamed for that. Building 7, the smoking gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. The first responders saw molten steel. They heard explosions, swore they were real. And we all watched a scene surreal. Those buildings fell with roaring blast. A demolition controlled and fast. Building 7, smoking gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. We want the truth. What's the real cause? So many questions, it gives one pause. The official story, so full of flaws. Our leaders command us to just move on. We're here to tell you we won't move on. We're here to tell you we won't move on. Won't move on. 'Cause Building 7's the smoking gun. We see the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. 9/11, Building 7.